There's a light at the end of the road. Where mortal darkness it grows. And it may be the faintest of glows. We can work it out. Refugees in our own land, brutalized by a friendly hand, crushed by debt. No one to break your fall, no one at all. After the hurricane, from the ruins of the old domain, in the air was the time for change, hold fast till the morning. After the hurricane, from the ruins of the old domain, in the air was the time for change, hold fast till the morning. Millions spent on unclear war, thousands can't withdraw. Where martyrs never pause, or the gunmen loose at home. Now you're all alone. After the hurricane, from the ruins of the old domain, in the air was a time for change, hold fast till the morning. Oh, after the hurricane, from the ruins of the old domain, there's a time for change, hold fast till the morning. Brothers, heroes, when you need them, lie down here beaten. There is no clash of titans, it's all so disappointing. After the hurricane, from the ruins of the old domain, in the air was a time for change, hold fast till the morning.
Kicking off this week's broadcast of Radio Resistance with the sound of the Levellers, After the Hurricane. Well, alright, it wasn't quite a hurricane earlier today, but not off pretty damn windy. Now, we'll be talking a little bit more about the climate later on in the broadcast, but next up we'll be talking about what's happened last week over in the US. But for now, back to the music with the sound of David Rovix, Today in Charlottesville.
There was a massacre in church that got certain forces moving. Many towns are now at least superficially improving, such as in Virginia, where a statue of General Lee stands as a reminder of the days of slavery. In the city center, an indelible mark, in the spot that's been renamed Emancipation Park, slated for removal when a judge intervened, which might be the moment that most fully set the scene for 19 injured, one killed. Charlottesville. With their men in the White House, members of the right marched through the university, torches alight, chanting against immigrants, Africans and Jews. But it's not flying bottles that put them in the news, so much as the bigot in the car, revving his engine loud, speeding forward and then back, running down the crowd, using the same tactic promoted by Islamic State. Maybe he was even shouting, God is great. 19 injured, 1 killed, today in Charlottesville. More than half the city used to be in chains. Now their descendants, who still remain, are being forced to leave by gentrification, just like poor white folks all across the nation. And with the presidential tweets and xenophobic rants, it's just a matter of time before some pawn takes the chance to plow into a march with half a ton of steel. This is not fake news, it's real. 19 injured, 1 killed, today in Charlottesville. Killed today in Charlottesville.
'David Rovick there, today in Charlottesville. Now, Charlottesville, there was a notorious, terrible race hate massacre. Sadly, it wasn't the last of them, though, because just over a week ago in the US,
at least 20 people were killed and a further 26 injured in a mass shooting in El Paso, Texas, last Saturday.
Now, tellingly, the perpetrator of this racist terrorist atrocity, Patrick Crusius, had posted a racist manifesto online just hours before, saying that the shooting was targeting Hispanic people, that he wanted to fight a so-called Hispanic invasion of Texas, and his victims did include 3 Mexican citizens. Also, tellingly, he seemed to idolise the racist US President Donald Stinky Trump, even retweeting a meme of Trump's name spelt out in guns. Now, of course, that didn't stop Trump's crocodile tears about extremism, or him equating the Nazi terrorism, of which El Paso was an example, with anti-Nazi activism. Indeed, he decried Antifa, or Antifa as he called them, as extremists. Nor did it stop him blaming the usual suspects, notably video games. Guess he doesn't want to face the real cause.
The shootings follow a series of deeply racist speeches by U.S. President Donald Trump. His attacks on migrants and Muslims have created a climate where violent racists can flourish.
I mean, at a recent rally, he inspired chants of "Send her back" about Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, and said she and her colleagues, Ayanna Pressley, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and Rashida Tlaib could leave the country. And his racist border policy means that over 900 migrant parents and children have been separated at the US-Mexico border in last year, despite a judge ruling that this must stop, as border cops have been taking liberties with a loophole which was supposedly there to protect kids from abusive parents. And, at rallies, he has referred to Mexican migrants as rapists and criminals.
Trump is ramping up racist rhetoric to play to his base ahead of the 2020 U.S. presidential election.
Now, such vile, vicious hate speech can and has led to murderous hate crimes like at El Paso. Small wonder.
In November last year, ABC News identified at least 17 cases where Trump's name was invoked in direct connection with violence or threats of violence. The victims were from an array of minority groups: African Americans, Latinos, Muslims, and gay men.
He also inspires vicious racists and fascists abroad, such as Brazil's far-right President Jair Bolsonaro, and here in the UK, Stephen Yaxley Lennon, or as he calls himself, Tommy Robinson, and his utterly brainwashed supporters. Thankfully, such hate speech and such hate crimes have been opposed by left-wing Democrats such as Bernie Sanders. And, yes,
Trump's bigotry must be opposed, but this has to go beyond voting him out in 2020. There needs to be a mass movement which stands against Trump's racism and the far-right it boosts. Change is sorely needed in the U.S., and it must come from below.
Too true. And on that note, back to the music. We're going to go back to the Stand Up To Racism concert gig at Matlock back on the 21st of June, when Simon Ball gave a rendition of his rework of Nelly the Elephant, namely Numpty Trumpty.
Misogynist, racist king. He wasn't exactly intelligent and clearly quite insane.
Tweet, I tweet, the twittering, twitting rat.
He's making America hate again, so crass and ignorant.
China shot the trigger, happy loon. We resist this twisted narcissist. Together we said to send him back, he really won't be missed. Numpty Trumpty, bigoted cheek, snatches things from boundaries, back over the world.
This is Radio Resistance News, brought to you courtesy of Socialist Worker Newspaper. Horrific shootings in the US last weekend showed where our rulers' racism can lead. Some 22 people died after Patrick Cruzius opened fire on people at a Walmart shop in El Paso, Texas last Saturday. The shootings follow a series of deeply racist speeches by US President Donald Trump. His attacks on migrants and Muslims have created a climate where violent racism can flourish. A dam in Derbyshire holding 1.3 million tonnes of water looked as if it would collapse last week after severe flooding. Some 1,500 people were evacuated after one of the dam walls started to fall away. The near disaster is a consequence of climate change. Health campaigners have said Boris Johnson's promises to inject 1.8 billion quid into the NHS are not enough. Around 6 billion quid is needed to fix the problems caused by years of cuts and privatisation. The announcement comes at the time of a potential snap election. There have been four consecutive days of protest in Hong Kong, culminating in a general strike on Monday. It is a crucial moment. Leader Carrie Lam says the protesters are fomenting revolution. An eyewitness account looks at what is happening inside a movement that refuses to be silenced. Also in this week's Socialist Worker, anti-fascists protested against supporters of jailed Nazi Tommy Robinson in central London last Saturday. India risks nuclear war with attacks on Kashmir by removing its autonomy. A feature on the strike by NHS workers in West Yorkshire against being transferred to a wholly owned subsidiary. A historical feature on the Peterloo massacre, which shows how the workers' movement was militant and inclusive from its birth. A feature on how the Tories high-speed rail projects are about one thing only, making money for the bosses. You can read Socialist Worker online at www.socialistworker.co.uk. That's www.socialistworker.co.uk. Or you can buy your copy of Socialist Worker in Chesterfield Town Centre each Saturday from 11 a.m. through till 12:30 p.m. outside Primark. Or you can pick up your copy from the Chesterfield Socialist Worker forums, held each Thursday evening downstairs in Chesterfield Library from 7 p.m. Enter by the Cafe Browser entrance on Beatwell Street, down the steps from the main entrance. Or you can get Socialist Worker delivered. For more info, email swchesterfield@gmail.com or phone or text 07919 486 101. That's email swchesterfield@gmail.com or phone or text 07919 486 101.
Socialist Worker is your paper.
Buy it, read it,
sell it.
Manchester rain, like tears as it falls, powers the steam that makes these factories roar. Manchester rain, the coldest of all. From a land where the rivers rise and fall, they claim the dead, enrich the soil so the cotton grows, the money flows across the sea with a storm that blows. The Manchester rain that falls on us all rolls off the wealthy as it soaks through the poor. Manchester rain, coldest of all. And down amongst these cellars we live here dark and cramped, while the clouds conspire above us and the air is cold and damp. And the Manchester rain comes dripping down the walls, takes another child every time it pours the Manchester rain, the coldest of all. Must call master far beyond these gates in their Westminster palace beneath the roof of finest slates, where the Manchester rain doesn't bother them at all, sheltered from that storm from the moment they are born. Manchester rain, the coldest of all. Manchester rain, the coldest of all.
Sounds of Quiet Loner, Manchester rain. Well, the same rain that falls in Manchester, this is a meteorological fact, tends to blow westwards because of the prevailing winds, and comes up onto the Peak District with some pretty bad results there as well, as the residents of Whaley recently found out.
People in Whaley Bridge, Derbyshire, looked as if they faced a catastrophic disaster last week. A dam holding around 1.3 million tons of water seemed set to collapse. Over 1,500 residents were evacuated after a month and a half's worth of rain fell in just 48 hours on the Derbyshire Hills. Part of the exterior wall of a dam at Toddbrook Reservoir started to fall away as a result of the increased pressure.
Now, thankfully, nobody was killed and the dam didn't collapse catastrophically, and all residents have now been allowed back to their homes. Nevertheless, this emergency highlighted a number of issues. One was the ageing and ill-maintained dam. The dam is around 180 years old, and emergency services say there is a real risk it could still collapse and cause chaos. Plus, the fire service has fewer resources to deal with such a disaster now, as Tory cuts mean that the number of full-time firefighters in Derbyshire has fallen by 12% since 2010. But, above all, the freak rainfall that caused such a volume of water in the reservoir and such a high water pressure that the dam started to give way is yet another manifestation of climate change. I mean, climate change has already this year caused a heat wave with record-breaking temperatures of above 38 degrees centigrade. The flooding in Yorkshire that knackered a bridge and led to the cancellation of the Ardrock Festival, and this weekend's unseasonal windstorm that has led to the cancellation of a surfing festival in Cornwall. Okay, each of these on their own may well be a freak occurrence, which doesn't necessarily imply climate change, but in recent years we've seen so many freaks that they're starting to feel almost like the new normal, scary or what. On that note, there's a number of other climate change myths that we kind of get sick of hearing, which I'm going to go over and try and debunk. One is that we've always had climate change, ice ages and warm periods. Okay, that's not entirely a myth, it is true, but these ice ages and warm periods occur over thousands, even millions of years, whereas, by contrast, global temperatures have gone up sharply in the past 200 years, escalating massively in the mid-20th century about 50 years ago, and it continues to do so. I mean, that's what the I don't know if you know about the hockey stick graph, but that's what it shows. It shows the temperatures changing slightly over more or less a straight line for quite a long time, up until about the beginning of the Industrial Age, and then the line suddenly shoots up, the line being the global temperature. And in any case, the warm period of the dinosaurs and warm periods beforehand happened when much more carbon was in the atmosphere, because this was over time absorbed by vegetation and it's now trapped underground as coal, oil, shale rock, etc. Hence they're called fossil fuels. Now burning these fossil fuels releases the carbon back into the atmosphere, which is why global warming started really to take off with the Industrial Revolution. And the burning of fossil fuels to power the new capitalist mode of production. Now, if we want to avoid going back to a period when Earth's climate was much, much warmer than it is now, so much so it was probably inhabitable to humans, let alone much of the wildlife that we now enjoy, it's imperative that these fossil fuels and the carbon in them stay in the ground. Now, another tiresome urban myth which we hear is that volcanoes supposedly produce far more greenhouse gases than human activity. What a load of bollocks. The fact is, the carbon dioxide produced annually by the burning of fossil fuels is approximately 100 times that produced by volcanoes. So, alright, I wouldn't really want to be near a volcano when it erupts, but they're not the cause of global warming. And finally, another myth that we keep hearing is global warming really so bad? I mean, wouldn't it be nice to have Britain with a climate like that of the Mediterranean? Well, sorry, but it doesn't work like that. Global warming causes extremes by messing with weather patterns. I mean, it also caused the extreme cold associated with the beast from the east last year. Anyway, don't expect to sunbathe on Skegness Beach, because the rise in sea level, caused by the melting of polar, especially Antarctic, ice, mean that your favourite British beaches may well disappear underwater. As may much of our farmland, as may much of the farmland internationally, leading to food shortages and famine. Now, as for Derbyshire County Council Tory leader Barry Lewis's cockamamie idea of growing grapes for champagne here in Derbyshire, well, I'd love to see him try to grow those grapes if we get droughts, or if the fertile soil ends up getting washed away by floods. But maybe the most tiresome crap we keep hearing is, we'll all be dead by the time climate catastrophe happens. Well, newsflash, we've got at best 11 years, maybe as little as 18 months, to go carbon neutral if we want to keep Earth habitable to humans, let alone to wildlife. So we need to act now. Now, I earlier mentioned shale rock, a fossil fuel. Well, the fracking firm Quadrilla is trying to get an extension to carry on fracking past its end of November deadline. Indeed, it wants to begin fracking at the Preston New Road site in Lancashire this month, August. So, with this Tory government hell-bent on giving the dirty frackers a free run, we must resist the bastards ourselves. Now, fracking may well be coming to our local area, with INEOS having got permission already to frack at Marsh Lane and Hart Hill, and awaiting a decision at Woodsetts. So we must be prepared to resist them, using all means at our disposal, including blocking their supply of equipment to the fracking sites by direct action. And speaking of direct action, Extinction Rebellion are planning the Northern Rebellion in Manchester from Friday 30th of August through till Monday 2nd of September. There, there'll be talks, training and workshops, direct actions, big and small, plus music, art, food and regeneration. So come along, show your support, join the masses of people blocking the streets to say enough is enough. Bring a tent if you can, and you can then stay overnight and take the most part in the occupation. And then, on Friday 20th of September, millions of people are going to be walking out worldwide to demand that governments act urgently on climate change and that our bosses stop polluting our planet. Now, this is going to be the first school student strike of the new school year, and the kids themselves have issued a challenge to workers. That means you, to walk out of your workplaces and take to the streets alongside them on the day. And here in Chesterfield, there'll be a rally from midday outside Chesterfield Town Hall, so be there. And now going back to the music with the 1975 featuring Greta Thunberg. This is the 1975.
We are right now in the beginning of a climate and ecological crisis, and we need to call it what it is, an emergency. We must acknowledge that we do not have the situation under control and that we don't have all the solutions yet, unless those solutions mean that we simply stop doing certain things. We must admit that we are losing this battle. We have to acknowledge that the older generations have failed. All political movements in their present form have failed. But Homo sapiens have not yet failed. Yes, we are failing, but there is still time to turn everything around. We can still fix this. We still have everything in our own hands. But unless we recognize the overall failures of our current systems, we most probably don't stand a chance. We are facing a disaster of unspoken sufferings for enormous amounts of people. And now is not the time for speaking politely or focusing on what we can or cannot say. Now is the time to speak clearly. Solving the climate crisis is the greatest and most complex challenge that Homo sapiens have ever faced. The main solution, however, is so simple that even a small child can understand it. We have to stop our emissions of greenhouse gases. And either we do that, or we don't. You say that nothing in life is black or white, but that is a lie, a very dangerous lie. Either we prevent a 1.5 degree of warming, or we don't. Either we avoid setting off that irreversible chain reaction beyond human control, or we don't. Either we choose to go on as our civilization, or we don't. That is as black or white as it gets. Because there are no grey areas when it comes to survival. Now we all have a choice. We can create transformational action that will safeguard the living conditions for future generations. Or we can continue with our business as usual and fail. That is up to you and me. And yes, we need a system change rather than individual change. But you cannot have one without the other. If you look through history, all the big changes in society have been started by people at the grassroots level. People like you and me. So I ask you to please wake up and make the changes required possible. To do your best is no longer good enough. We must all do the seemingly impossible. Today, we use about 100 million barrels of oil every single day. There are no politics to change that. There are no rules to keep that oil in the ground. So we can no longer save the world by playing by the rules. Because the rules have to be changed. Everything needs to change. And it has to start today. So everyone out there, it is now time for civil disobedience. It is time to rebel.
This is Pick of the Strikes. A round of strikes locally, nationally and internationally. Hundreds of health workers in Bradford, West Yorkshire, began a two-week strike against privatisation last Thursday. The Unison Union members at the Bradford Royal Infirmary are fighting bosses' plans to outsource cleaners, porters and other support staff to a wholly owned subsidiary. Hundreds of health workers across the northwest of England struck for equal pay on Wednesday of last week. The Unison Union members are demanding that private contractor Compass pays them the same rates of pay as workers directly employed by NHS. The cleaners, porters and other support staff work at Blackpool NHS teaching hospitals, St Helens Hospital and Whiston Hospital. Health visitors in Lincolnshire have announced further strikes in their fight for higher pay. The Unite Union members plan to hold two 48-hour strikes from 15th of August and 19th of August. They were transferred from the NHS payroll to local authority in 2017. Striking cleaners and caterers at government offices in London and Liverpool are set to link up their fights over low pay and outsourcing at a rally next week. Workers at the Department for Business, Energy and Industrial Strategy on indefinite strike plan a trip to Liverpool on Tuesday to support the cleaners at HMRC tax officers there who are due to walk out from Monday until Wednesday. Strikers from both cities plan to march and rally together in Liverpool city centre. Both sets of workers in the PCS union are striking over pay and ultimately want to be brought back in-house. Royal Mail postal workers in Haverford West, West Wales, staged a brief unofficial strike on Tuesday of last week. Their CWU union said the walkout at the Merlin's Bridge delivery office was over allegations of bullying from a manager. Workers on East Midlands trains walked out last Saturday as part of their ongoing battle against stagecoach boss attacks on pay and terms and conditions. The RMT union members also announced a further strike day for Saturday of next week. Meanwhile, workers at Merseyrail have announced six fresh strike dates to hammer home the message to keep the guards on the train. The RMT union members are engaged in a long-running dispute over bosses' attempts to roll out more driver-only operated services. Workers are set to walk out on 24th of August, then on 3rd, 5th and 30th of September, and on 2nd and 4th of October. And, in another dispute, workers on the cross-country train line began a four-day overtime ban from Thursday of last week. The RMT union members are battling company-wide changes imposed by franchise operator Arriva and bosses' attempts to undermine the union by negotiating outside of the collective bargaining agreement. workers at the Harland and Walsh shipyard in Belfast have been occupying the shipyard since Monday to prevent its closure. Harland and Walsh faces closure after its Norwegian parent company, Dolphin Drilling, failed to find a buyer. Now for a couple of victories. Bin workers at Newham Council, East London, are celebrating after workers' organisation and threats of strikes have won them a decent payout. Some 45 members at Unite Union were due to walk out for 12 days in June over an unfair pay grading scheme which cost them up to £12,000 over a 12-year period. They've won a one-off payment and a promise from Newham Council to review workers' terms and conditions. While workers at Drax Power Station in North Yorkshire have voted to accept a new two-year pay deal, almost 400 Unite Union members voted by a large majority to accept after threats of strikes won an improved offer. Finally, onto the international scene. A general strike took place in Hong Kong on Monday. More info in next report.
Around, the leader of my land was gone. and a revolution almost come. Hospital burn down. It's a revolution time. Hear what I'm saying when I say it's a revolution time. Then no way else. It's a revolution time. Man, I drop down for hungry. It's a revolution time. When I look at times, I see them eating out of the garbage.
Sound of culture, revolution time. Well, China of course had a revolution back in the 1950s, but now in Hong Kong it looks like they might be getting ready for second revolution, because the fight back in Hong Kong is going up a level. Now it started kicking off back on Friday, 2nd of August, when a rally called by rank and file civil servants saw 40,000 people take to the streets. And then on Monday, which was the fourth day of big demos and roadblocks against the hated extradition bill, there was a significant escalation.
It was also the day of a general strike, the first in Hong Kong in half a century. The Hong Kong Confederation of Trade Unions estimates that 350,000 workers joined the strike.
The metro train system was brought to a standstill, as the strike was actively supported by protesters who blocked the train doors. Indeed, the whole range of transport was affected, from air travel, Hong Kong Airlines saw 400 workers join the strike, down to the rides at Disneyland Hong Kong, where dozens of workers struck. Plus, workers in the civil service, advertising, finance, construction and retail all joined the strike. What's more, the strike took place despite government repression.
Dozens of people who had called for it were arrested overnight last Sunday, and many strikers risked the sack or other punishments from their bosses.
And we think we've got problems with the anti-union laws. Anyway, also, many joined the strike despite their own trade union leaders' opposition. Notably, metro workers defied the pro-government Hong Kong Federation of Railway Trade Unions, who urged their workers not to walk out. Plus,
protesters have also faced attacks from groups of masked men, while, on Monday, two cars rammed into demonstrators.
Now, was that the bloody triads again? The organised criminal gangs, which seem to be being given a free rein by the police in Hong Kong. Anyway, instead of going by official channels, the strike seems largely to have been organised through the messaging app Telegram. Shades of the revolutions in North Africa, which were built and organised on social media platforms like Facebook and Twitter. Now, hardly surprisingly, Hong Kong's leader Carrie Lam has decried the protesters and strikers as trying to foment revolution in Hong Kong. Well, what's wrong with that, I say? But what are they really protesting and striking about?
The demonstrators put forward five major demands. Firstly, for the government to completely withdraw the extradition bill. They want the police to stop saying the June 12th protests were riots, the unconditional release of all arrested protesters, and an independent inquiry into the cops' behavior. And protesters are pushing for greater democratic rights, with a demand for universal suffrage, and the democratic election of the territory's leaders.
Now, despite being decried as a riotous mob, these are hardly unreasonable demands, are they? Now, not only have some 96 trade unions under the Hong Kong Confederation of Trade Unions announced their support for the strike, but even the Liberal Party, who are a big business party that supports the Chinese regime, has been forced to call for the resignation of Carrie Lam. Now, the fact that a big business Tory-type party supports the Chinese regime proves how communist the Chinese regime actually is, but that's another story. Anyway, Also, both the Liberal Party and the bosses' organisations, the Hong Kong General Chamber of Commerce and the International Chamber of Commerce, have both come out in favour of an independent investigation into police violence at the end of June. All of this is happening despite the fact that
the Chinese Communist Party regime is backing Carrie Lam and the police force to the hilt. They want the Hong Kong government to begin rejecting some applications for protests and to strengthen the police's repression of the most radical protesters.
Now, despite what I've been saying about the Liberal Party and the bosses' organisations, it's got to be said that workers can't rely on bosses' parties or bosses' organisations to bring any real change, particularly to their living standards. And also racist behaviour, like from those who sprayed a racist term about Chinese people outside the liaison office government building, will not help the movement. On the positive side, though, the socialist left in Hong Kong, which isn't aligned with the Chinese Communist Party regime, fully supports political strikes, and it calls for social and economic demands to be included as part of the strikers' demands.
The strike on Monday is only an initial attempt, and a larger and longer general strike will be launched in the future. At the same time, protesters, trade unions, student unions, and social movements must combine into a joint action committee to lead the struggle. Through the action committee, the power of the workers and movements will converge, and this would establish the mass self-organization that can take on the power of the ruling class.
And on that note, I'm going to go back to the music with the sound of Hue and Cry. Labour of Love.
I can't stand it. I said I just don't want it. never gonna need it. N-O-N-O, watch it. Don't need you, don't need your tricks and treats. Don't need your ministration, your bad determination. Had enough of you and your super bad group. I don't need you, I don't need you. Pseudo satisfaction, baby. I can't stand it. Said I just don't want it. Never gonna need it. I don't need your pseudo satisfaction, baby. Withdraw my labor, love. Gonna strike for the right to get into your heart. Withdraw my labor, love. Gonna strike for the right to get into your heart. Withdraw my labor, love. Gonna strike for the right to get into your heart. Withdraw my labor, love. Gonna strike.
It's time for direct action. A roundup of protests and demonstrations, locally, nationally and internationally, recent and coming. Boris Johnson was hounded by protesting Harland and Wolff shipyard workers during his visit to Northern Ireland last Wednesday. Workers protested outside the Northern Ireland's Tormont Parliament building. The famous Belfast yard is days from falling into administration. Unions are calling for action to save jobs and workers chanted "Renationalise now." The Harland and Wolff workers were joined by protesters demanding Irish language recognition rights in a bilingual protest. Other protesters at Tormont included people representing those killed in the Loyalist paramilitary bombing of McGurk's Bar in Belfast in 1971 and those killed by the British Army in Ballymurphy the same year. Anti-fascists protested against supporters of jailed Nazi Tommy Robinson in central London last Saturday. More info in first report of part two of this broadcast. Activists joined a day of action against the hated universal credit benefit on Thursday of last week. The action, involving 63 events, was called by Unite Union. Campaigners held rallies, stunts, leafleting and petitioning sessions and other events in several boroughs across London. There were also events in Cambridge, Norwich, Doncaster, Sheffield, Brighton, Salford, Southampton and many other towns and cities. There are currently more than 1.7 million people claiming universal credit in England, and this is set to rise as the benefit is rolled out across the country. Universal credit replaces six other benefits and leaves most claimants worse off. The Day of Action follows a survey of over 1,000 universal credit claimants by Unite, which found that over four-fifths of parents said they find it hard to make ends meet over the school holidays. Claimants said they had been driven into debt or forced to rely on food banks, and a quarter had even taken out a payday loan. Around 300 people took to the streets of Margate last Saturday against plans to axe three stroke units in Kent. Protesters rallied outside the Queen Elizabeth the Queen Mother Hospital. The protest was organised by the Keep Our NHS in Kent campaign group. Not only is the stroke unit under threat, but there's also the risk of closure or downgrading of the accident and emergency and maternity units. There was a big turnout for Glasgow's Govan Hill Carnival last Saturday. The carnival celebrated multiculturalism and diversity in the city. People brought placards against racism and fascism, while others opposed the hated universal credit benefit. Extinction Rebellion activists called for a swarm at a roundabout near the approach to London's Blackwall Tunnel on the busy A102 on Friday. The action, in protest at the building of yet another road tunnel, is part of Extinction Rebellion's Summer of Uprisings against climate change. The proposed Silvertown Tunnel would add to problems at one of London's worst hotspots. Residents in the boroughs of Newham and Greenwich already suffer some of the highest levels of air pollution and highest numbers of children with asthma. Onto the international scene. Bumaneer's opposition leaders signed a rotten agreement with Sudan's military rulers on Sunday. The deal, first agreed last month, would leave the military effectively in control in Sudan for almost 2 years and threatens to undermine the revolt. What's more, in a gross display of bad faith, members of the Rapid Support Forces militia shot and killed 4 school students on a protest over fuel and bread shortages on Monday of last week. The military then attacked protests that followed with tear gas and gunfire. As we just heard, protesters took part in mass protests and roadblocks in several parts of Hong Kong on Monday. Thousands of university students, lecturers, teachers and workers in Greece have protested against an attack on the right to organise on campus. Protesters are resisting an attempt by Greece's new Tory government to abolish university asylum, which bans police from entering campuses. The law, a legacy of an uprising against Greece's dictatorship in 1973, protects the right to organise politically on campus and has big symbolic significance in Greece. Protests have been taking place in Indian-occupied Kashmir against India's removal of Article 370 from Indian Constitution. Article 370 gives the disputed region of Kashmir, a predominantly Muslim region, special status and autonomy over all governance except foreign and defence policies. Its removal is a result of racism. India's ruling class has roots in Hindu nationalism. On to ongoing protests. At Preston New Road, near Blackpool in Lancashire, anti-fracking activists have vowed to continue their fight as drilling company Quadrilla plans to begin fracking at Preston New Road this month. On to coming protests. The GMB union is set to stage a mass protest in Leeds after Asda attempted to impose new punitive contracts onto workers. The protest set to take place at 12 noon in Leeds city centre on Wednesday. A march for Scottish independence, organised by All Under One Banner, will take place in Aberdeen on Saturday 17th of August. This is leading up to a major event in Edinburgh on 5th of October, which organisers hope will see 200,000 people on streets. Extinction Rebellion are planning the Northern Rebellion in Manchester from Friday 30th of August to Monday 2nd of September. There there'll be talks, training and workshops, direct actions big and small, plus music, art, food and regeneration. Millions of people will be walking out worldwide on 20th of September to demand that governments act urgently on climate change and that bosses stop polluting our planet. Student strikers have issued a challenge to workers to walk out of their workplaces and take to the streets alongside them on the day. finally, as part of the International Rebellion, Extinction Rebellion UK plan a nationwide rebellion in London from 7th of October through till 19th of October.
It's time for direct action. We must fight back.
And this is coming towards the end of part one of this week's broadcast of Radio Resistance. So taking you to the break, here's the sound of Depeche Mode. People are people. Come back in part two for a report on last Saturday's protest in London against Tommy Robinson and much, much more.
Chesterfield.